If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey friends, welcome to Wrestle Buddies, GameSpot's wrestling podcast, but with wrestling friendship and wrestling with friendship. I'm your host, 40 for 40, Matt Elfring, and with me as always, 40 for 40 member and Dark Order member Chris Hayner. Chris, how are you, sir?
I'm great, Matt. Join the Dark Order. Join darkorder.com. Today is a very interesting day because usually it's just you and I recording this part, but that's not true this time.
No, there's two people here, one person you won't hear from at all. Hi, John. He's muted. Joining us for the entirety of the episode, once again, I think at this point he's the fifth member of Wrestle Buddies.
Adam returning Cole, champion.
Adam Cole, baby, how are you, sir?
Hello, guys. I'm wonderful. Again, I said this before, this is my favorite podcast to be involved in. I'm very, very happy to be here once again. How are you guys?
I mean, that's all we need. We can just end the show.
All right.
Like, no, we got a series finale. Oh, yeah. You're right. You're right. Actually, I do have one thing I want to talk about before we hit games. How are you feeling? Just in because
sure. Yeah. I'm doing okay. I'm definitely on the track to recovery for sure. I have a great team around me that is helping and just making sure that I'm taken care of to the best of my ability. Like, AEW has been fantastic as far as making sure that I'm getting the right care that awesome. I deserve. And I feel like a progress and a move forward like every single week for sure. So, cause I was pretty banged up. So again, for 14 years being in the pro wrestling industry, I think the most time I had ever had off ever as far as traveling, being on the road was 1 month. I've been going nonstop. So eventually our bodies kind of catch up to us. And I had a couple of things that were kind of lingering for me. And then with what happened at Forbidden Door. So, but I feel good. I'm very confident. I'll be back in the ring soon. I'm excited to be back. I miss it so much already. But yeah, I'm feeling good.
And I mean, at the end of the day, you still got what the Forbidden Door experience, which looked utterly ridiculous. Matt, you were there, right?
I was there. That was many beers in by the time Adam, your match came on. Very, very worried at the end there, though.
Yeah.
But I am glad that you're doing better on the road to recovery.
For sure. Yeah. Because, you know, injuries like that can be a little bit scary. I think not just for me, but kind of for everybody. Like I said, fortunately, the most important thing in a situation like that is having a good team of people who know what they're doing and are concerned about your well-being being around you. And that was definitely the case for me. So yeah, I'm getting the proper care that I need, and I'll be good to go in no time. But yeah, it was definitely scary for me too.
Excellent. Well, let's talk about what actually really matters here. Clearly, last time you were on, you were still knee deep in Elden Ring, and I believe declared it the best game of all time. What are you playing now?
So, okay, I've got quite a few games that I'm going through at the moment. Quite a few. So currently on my Twitch stream, twitch.tv/thechugs, right, I'm going through a cycle of 5 games. The first one being Halo Infinite on Legendary and getting all the collectibles, as you can tell. Huge Halo fan with my mug.
No, if you can't see this, he has a Master Chief mug. He has a Master Chief helmet, gun. And is that the armor you wore to Revolution?
It is. And an Xbox Series X right in front of it.
I don't have a Series X and I feel like I need one. I have the PS5, I have my PC, but like, I've always been an Xbox guy. So like, what am I doing?
I love the Series X. I love the way it looks. I love the way that it runs. I love that it looks like a mini desktop, which I know we've talked about before, but So I'm playing I'm playing Horizon Forbidden West on the PlayStation 5 for the first time. Amazing. I'm towards the end of Skyward Sword HD on the Switch because I never played. I love it. So, because I have heard multiple people before say, it's one of the weaker Zelda games. Wasn't a huge fan of it. I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's a weird adjustment to using the right joystick to slash with Link's sword.
Yeah.
Like that still to this day kind of messes with me. But as far as the story and the music and the dungeons, I'm really, really loving it. But I've never played it before.
Okay.
That was so, a huge, like swinging the sword was a huge turnoff to me when it originally came out. And also it's coming on the heels of Wind Waker and Twilight Princess, which to me are some of the strongest Link games. I know there's Wind Waker haters out there, but like that's, I love that game.
There's Wind Waker haters?
They're monsters. They,
I mean, look, we all know the internet. There's haters of everything out there. Thank you. Like it's going to happen. That's true.
Especially except when something for, is that good, you know,
except for A Link to the Past. Nobody hates A Link to the Past. It's a perfect video game.
That is true. You very rarely hear hate on Link to the Past.
God, I love it so much.
But I'm playing that. I'm playing Celeste, the awesome indie platformer. Okay. Which I had played before, but I only played like the first 4 or 5 hours. And then I had stopped. And when I started streaming, I realized I'm like, oh, this would be a good game to stream. And then I'm also the fifth game in the cycle is I am playing through full playthrough Resident Evil 4 for the first time.
Wow.
Okay. Like, I've played it before. I've played it before, but I have never beaten the game. Like I'm at the castle section right now. Mm-hmm. Never been there. This is all new. I've seen footage, but I've never played it. I totally understand why everyone regards that game as so revolutionary and so important. It's fantastic. It is so great.
I am so glad you actually brought up Resident Evil because we are in my house about to embark on a full series playthrough because
amazing.
Obviously the Netflix show came out.
Yes.
Some people don't like it. I personally loved it. I thought it was a really interesting way to approach the series without just rehashing things over and over.
Yeah.
But it made me want to go and like, I was like, you know what? I haven't done in a long time. Played the first Resident Evil game. And I was like, well, why don't we just get all of them and just play through all of them? Because like there's some of them I either didn't finish or just, I think there's even one or two that I never got to. So like, it seems like the right time to just go and go through all of them.
Right. Right. I was kind of doing something similar actually, but I really messed up my progression. It was like the first game I beat on Twitch was RE3 Remake. And then I wanted to play RE2 Remake because I love that so much. And then I'm like, oh, I'm going to play OG RE2. And then at that point, I'm like, I should play all the Resident Evils. So I played through Zero and RE1 Remake. And now we're on RE4, but it's amazing. And that's just for Twitch. So casually, as far as what I'm playing.
You have time to play games not on Twitch?
Very rarely. Very rarely. Because this list is much shorter, as in it's one game. So I was fortunate enough to get my Steam Deck, which I love it. Love it, love it, love it. And I'm playing Psychonauts 2 on my Steam Deck.
Okay.
Because it was suggested to me, for like a year at this point. A friend of mine was like, you got to play it. It's so good. And playing it, I'm like, yeah, this is incredible. Like I've noticed for me, and this is a weird thing, but like first person shooters still feel a little bit weird to me on the Steam Deck. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's everything going on with me right now, but like the motion kind of makes me feel a little bit weird at the moment. So like 3D platformers are much easier for me to handle on the Steam Deck. And I love it. I think it's really, really good.
I can understand that because I recently picked up a Backbone controller for my phone.
Oh, nice.
Because you can do Steam through that. You can do Xbox Cloud Gaming through that. So I was traveling for work and clearly I got to put my time into Fortnite so me and my buddies can get our Darth Vader skin.
There you go.
But like, it was so hard to play it like this, like with like holding on to the controller. When it comes to shooters, I feel so much more comfortable mouse and keyboard than I do a controller.
Oh, that's great.
Like, oh man, I've tried to become a controller person, but every time it does like, oh, I'm 5,000% worse at this game when I pick up a controller.
Yeah.
What happened to me? I wasn't a PC gamer until like 2 years ago. And now my console talent is just dead in the water.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely notice like, and this is still how I feel. Like if I play Halo and I see that someone is on PC, I'm instantly intimidated. Like, I'm like, oh shoot, here we go. I wish so bad. I think the best I got at one point was when me and Creed and Breeze and Claudia were all playing Valorant for a little while and playing that on PC. I was like, I felt like I was finally starting to get it, but I still feel more comfortable on controller. I wish I got to train myself to get good with mouse and keyboard. I do.
I mean, look, I'm sure it, in time you'll become a real man with a mouse and a keyboard.
I know. I need to.
I picked up something based on your recommendation last time we talked. It was a Father's Day present, so my wife picked it up. I ended up getting the Switch OLED.
Oh.
And then I think I just bought the Ninja Turtles game the day that came out, and that's all I've been playing. And the OLED is above and beyond.
Is it really that much better?
Yes. I never play docked. So it's, I'm always on the couch with it. It's perfect for that. It's brighter. Oh, man. It's a larger screen. It looks nicer. It's smoother.
Now the picture. Yeah. In addition to the picture being better, the speakers are better.
Yeah.
And on top of that, between the fact that it has more internal memory, so you can put more games on it, I swear to God, the Bluetooth Wi-Fi is better.
Yes, it is.
Oh, interesting. It's
1,000%. Like the speed that my Switch OLED gets now versus the OG Switch is night and day. It's twice as fast. Mm-hmm. So I love it. I think the OLED's great.
The only downside I've had, and it might just be, this might be Switch in general, but Fall Guys for Switch is so choppy and it looks terrible. I've been playing on PlayStation 5 since PS5 came out.
Yeah.
And I switched over to the Switch for Fall Guys, and I can't play it. It's just
I've not played Fall Guys yet on Switch.
Has the OLED fixed the drifting controls issue with the Joy-Cons?
Nope. That's a controller issue.
That's a bummer, man. Like I'm just now to the point where I have to replace my second set of Joy-Cons because like it's becoming unusable. And I should just get a controller. Like I should just buy the regular controller, but like, it's so fun to play. Honestly, I play mostly garbagey games on my Switch because they're hilarious. But like when you can't move because one stick is just constantly aiming down, no matter what you do to it. Like, oh my God.
I can't believe how lucky I've gotten, knock on wood. I have never had Joy-Con drift.
Oh, wow.
Really? Ever.
That's fantastic.
I had a first generation Switch with the, you know, when you really, really use the Joy-Cons, it's not like loose, like N64 loose, but like they feel like a little bit looser. I've never had Joy-Con drift on my first gen Switch or the Switch OLED. I've been so lucky.
That's awesome.
So lucky. But I do. So I have massive OCD when it comes to games, and going back to Steam Deck for a second, there's a thing with the left trigger versus the right trigger, where the left trigger feels just a little bit looser, Like if I gave a kid the Steam Deck and he didn't know, I feel like he would break it off. But I'm very careful. And then you can go in, the nice thing with the Steam Deck, and test to make sure that they both work the exact same way as far as how much power and pressure you're putting. And it says it's fine, but I'm constantly in the back of my mind, like, okay, is it good? All right, cool. I'm exaggerating it so much because I have such bad OCD with it. But that's one thing where I'm like, oh, please don't fall off, because I don't want to send it in. I don't want to send it in and get it fixed. I'm afraid. So
legit, I got with like the first time it happened, I didn't know what to do. So we went on Amazon and bought literally replacement parts where you take the Joy-Con apart yourself and put in the new joystick. It was like $15. And if you, like myself, have a partner who is much more better at those sorts of things, they will do it. And I will not, which is great, because I would 1,000% break it somehow.
I know.
Like, just not knowing what I'm doing. It would not end well. But like, yeah. And now those are starting to go. And I'm like, it's just the design of these things. It's so fragile.
Yeah.
And I have big, dumb thumbs that are like, come on, man, just build me a honestly, release a Joy-Con that just has the N64 sticks in place of the Switch sticks.
Just gonna
play that until the end of time.
Oh,
what does, wait, I don't know anything about
Switch Lite. Doesn't have drift.
Oh,
My son has the Switch Lite. God, we have too many Switches in the house.
You have three Switches in your house?
That's amazing.
Good for you.
That's
guys.
What I'm talking about.
I mean, I'm like, I'm a Nintendo nerd. I mean, it's right back.
Yes.
Yeah, the
I didn't know you had that PAL tattoo.
Yeah,
I've got a PAL tattoo. That's amazing.
And oh, Luigi on fire right above it.
Oh, that's sick.
But the Switch Lite doesn't have that Joy-Con issue. And I'm pretty sure it's because it doesn't come off the Switch and there's not as many internal parts.
Interesting.
All right.
Has to. I use the Switch Pro controller, and then I haven't used them for a little bit since I got the OLED, but I also had these like Switch Pro Joy-Cons where they they're much larger with bigger thumbsticks, but they don't have the motion control. That's the only thing.
That's fine. I don't have motion control for you do for a Nintendo Sports.
Oh damn.
Yes.
That's right.
That's the one game that I keep matters at this point.
I keep forgetting that I bought Switch Sports on like release day.
So much has come out since then.
I bought it, and Matt, I was excited to like play bowling with you online. And then we've never done it. Never. Yep. I don't think I've booted the game up once, if I'm being honest with you. It might still be in shrink wrap sitting bookshelf.
It doesn't have the same. I don't know when it came out for Wii. I mean, that was a different time. I was in college and living the dream. That's all I played every single night was Switch. Just a bunch of people in my apartment in Chicago just switch. Now it's like my son when he wants to play it and he doesn't. He'd rather play like Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge, or Streets of Rage. Mm.
So I do have not like a theory per se, but I remember with the fact first of all that we were all younger. But when the Wii came out, it was pandemonium.
Like, it was game changing.
My dad was really into video games at the Sega Genesis SNES era, which he's the one who introduced us to it. And then when PlayStation came out, he was done. Like, he was not interested at all. Didn't play any PlayStation games. Then all of a sudden, I'm a kid and I come home one day and he bought a Wii. And he's like, "Do you see this game where you could play tennis?" And I feel like parents across the world were buying this console. And then all these kids were playing it too. Like, the Wii was next level as far as Wii Sports. It was wild.
Yeah, I remember waiting in a Target parking lot overnight to get that.
There's
a group of like 15 of us doing it. And my wife, who was then my girlfriend, sleeping in the car the entire night, not understanding what's going on.
You know what? Good for her. At least wait. Like, she's at the store.
She understands.
If I were her, I would have been like, "I'm going home."
Right. Right. Good for
call
her.
Me tomorrow when you're done with this insanity.
Big ups to my wife for waiting in the car for 10 hours. We had a tent and like chairs.
Oh god.
Wow.
Do you remember I remember like waiting outside I remember midnight drops at GameStop. Midnight drops at GameStop of like games, and then there's people lined up outside, most of them with like a handful of used games are going to trade in to get credit towards the new game. All because you need the pre-sale bonuses. Like, if you get your pre-order in, you'll get extra characters or like more in-game cash.
Right.
Now you have to buy the in-game cash. It's a whole other thing.
But just in general, you don't wait for maybe you movies. Also
don't. Yeah, no.
But like, I remember waiting in line for for a Pantera album to come out the same night as a NSYNC album. And like, it just
what a weird line that must have been.
So
yeah,
weird.
Yeah.
For a not good Pantera album, by the way,
but a great NSYNC album, right?
Actually, it was a great NSYNC album. I mean, looking back, I believe it was No Strings Attached.
Wow. Okay. That's the one.
Yeah.
That is a big one.
All right, Adam, I'm going to be honest with you. I noticed one game you did not mention in the games you're playing right now. I'm assuming you still haven't started playing Little Nemo the Dream Master. And it's unfortunate because I don't know if you know this. They announced a sequel is coming. It was kickstarted.
Sequel's a little misleading.
Okay, sequel is, you're right. It's not technically, it's a new Little Nemo game.
Okay.
That's based on the same, because the character is based on a comic strip from like, I don't know, 1859 or whatever. before the printed word, whatever. I feel like this got lost in a lot of like the Jeff Keighley not E3 stuff. Yeah, is sure. It's a hand animated game based on this character, and it looks fantastic. So I'm just saying, you're going to want to get in on the ground floor and play the first Little Nemo before this comes out.
I know. I know. I feel like I say this all the time. I really do. I say it all the time. I'm like, there are 1,000 games that I want to play. And for people who are like real gamers and they love video games, it's both amazing and so sad that we're never going to be able to play all the games we want to. However, I said this podcast is my favorite podcast to be involved in. So at the very least, I have to play this game at some point before the sequel comes out.
Yeah, I don't know when it's coming out. I don't know. They're going to send me.
Time.
I threw money at them, so they'll send it to me on Switch when it's done, and I can't wait.
What a good game for Switch. Just like looking at it.
Honestly, at first when I saw it, I was like, oh, should I get it via Steam? And I was like, or they're like, it's going to be on Switch. I'm like, oh, done.
Right.
I will stare at that on my I'll plug my Switch in and stare at that on my television until the end of the world. It just looks beautiful.
So my most recent gamer battle, internal battle that I had with myself was the Klonoa remake of 1 and 2 that came out recently. I originally was going to get it on Switch, but then I just got the Steam Deck. So I'm like, do I get it on Switch or Steam Deck? And I ended up going with Steam Deck because I only had, well, now with that game, I have 7 games on the Steam Deck and 125 on the Switch. So I'm like,
wait, how do you only have 7? Like, do you not use Steam much? Do you not have a big Steam library?
So I have like a decent Steam library, but it's growing. But compared to Xbox, PlayStation, and Switch,
right,
much larger. So generally speaking, I use my PC to play games, but for the most part, it's meant for streaming. So I'm still like, I think the coolest thing, not to keep bringing up the Steam Deck, but the coolest thing about it is...
Oh, it's okay. We both want one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's going to happen at some point.
It is. It is for sure. But the coolest thing about it is it's like opening up my world of PC gaming in like a much more user-friendly way. Like the PC in the beginning was so intimidating to me.
Yeah.
This Steam Deck is just, it makes everything so easy, so simple. Like the fact that, like, for example, I'm very tempted. I have The Witcher 3 on my Switch, and I'm very tempted to get The Witcher 3 on Steam Deck to like compare the differences.
I gotta believe it runs better on the Steam Deck.
Than it has to. Like, it has to. Yeah.
I think there are some games that get ported to Switch where I was like, in fact, what was it, Matt? WWE 17? Was it 17? But it was like, there's 18, some games get 18. Ported to Switch where it's just like, this was a terrible idea from everybody involved.
Yeah.
This piece of hardware is not meant to run this piece of software. Stop it.
Right.
Witcher looks good on everything. I have it sadly for every system. I've never beaten The Witcher 3.
Oh,
wow.
I have gotten to the last chapter, but all I do is play Gwent. That is my issue, is I go around, I go to the boards like, who needs me to kill a monster? I'll also play the bartender and Gwent. I don't do the story after that.
You will have to teach me how to play Gwent, because to this day, I don't understand it.
Gwent is, but only Gwent and Witcher 3. I don't like the original standalone game that CD Projekt Red put out.
Man, is that different? Is it a different rule set?
I don't know. It's just, for me, this is going to sound so weird. For you,
it's better to be in a weird fantasy.
No. It's almost about the journey to play Gwent as much as it is to play. Like, I like getting on Roach and riding all across town, and then I get to a pub and I love D&D. If you know me, I play D&D all the time. I'm wearing a D&D shirt, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
I love the you're in a fantasy world and then you play a card game.
Sure.
Dragons exist. I'm playing a card game.
I appreciate that for you, Witcher is essentially a degenerate gambler sim set in a fantasy world. Like, there's monsters everywhere. I don't care, man. Deal me another hand. I got to get back on top. That's my jam.
Like, there's a storyline in Witcher 3 where you're just in a Gwent tournament, and that is just the best thing in the world for me. Like, I wish that was 7 storylines.
Yeah. Witcher 3 is incredible. It's incredible. Yeah. Like the DLC of like Blood and Wine and Hearts of Stone is like the best DLC of all time. It's great, man. I'm telling you.
There's 17 hours of Gwent games in the DLC.
I'm waiting for the PlayStation 5 remastered version to come
Me
out.
Me too.
I have it for PS4. So when it comes on PS5, I'll just upgrade. And
I'm doing the same.
I can't even imagine what it's going to look like.
It's gonna run so great.
Oh, the PS5 is so damn pretty.
It's beautiful. It's so
pretty.
Yep, it really is. And I remember one of the strengths I thought early on when the consoles first launched with Series X and PS5 I was like, oh, the Series X storage wise crushes the PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
Because the most you could do was, you know, buy an external SSD to put your PS4 games on. But now the PS5 crushes the Xbox with storage because the most you can do on Series X is that 2 terabyte expansion card, which is awesome. But I installed a FireCuda 4 terabyte hard drive inside the PS5. So now I'm never going to run out of space.
Can you teach me how to do that? I'm out. Yeah,
it's actually incredibly easy. It really is. And guys, I swear, I'm the type of person that like if something happened, it won't, knock on wood, but if something happened to that left trigger, I wouldn't know what to do on the Steam Deck.
But with the PS5,
you literally just pop off the little side panel, unscrew a thing, put the SSD in, screw it back on, pop it back on, and it works. It's very easy. Even for me, very easy.
I'm into that. I do. This is such a dumb complaint, but God, it's just such an ugly console. I was just thinking when you said the side plate, I'm like, I hate it so much. It looks like the ugliest Wi-Fi router, and I don't understand it.
I don't know. I like them both, actually. They're both very different. However, I will say definitely prefer the Series X look.
It's a literal box.
It's huge.
That's great. It's an Xbox. Love it.
Right.
That's all I need.
PS5 looks like a spaceship. It's cool. It's futuristic, you know?
It's just so white. It's so white.
You can get the different.
Look, man, I shouldn't have to buy add-ons to make it not stand out so much. But I should have to buy add-ons to make it stand out more. Like, I'm shocked it didn't come with LED lights all over it that just blink at random.
Oh, that'd be sick.
I will come over and I will pimp your PS5. I'll put a TV on top of it. Around it. I'll bring an exhibit. What you get.
I'm in. This sounds great.
Who knows exhibit? Anybody?
And then I'll finally play like Days Gone or whatever bullshit PS4 game I have laying around that I never touched.
Hey, Days Gone was good.
It looked great.
Yeah.
I found it on sale for like $15. I was like, ooh, I'm going to play this. And like, it's still sitting on a shelf with like Fallout 76.
I've not played Fallout 76 yet.
I love Fallout. Yeah, I couldn't get myself intrigued by 76.
Yeah.
Do a PS5 remaster of Fallout 3 and call it a day.
Oh,
can you imagine? Like, I hear all these games being look, I love Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I do. I don't need that remastered. Still rather play the Nintendo 64 version, but give me a remaster of Fallout 3 and we're talking.
Right. Well, it especially too for me, like two of my most favorite games of the past are Final Fantasy VII and Resident Evil 2. Mm-hmm. And the remasters of both of those games, with the fact that FF7 is going to be this series, is like it set my bar and expectations for remakes and remasters so much higher because those two games were so, so excellent. Oh, again, the pressure's on. I thought Capcom and Square just crushed it.
I'm very excited. I just picked up Resident Evil 1 remake and Origins or whatever it's called. I've been told that yes, the Resident Evil 1 remake looks better. It's a whole other world when you get to the RE2 remake.
Yeah,
it actually feels and plays like a modern game. And I'm like, that sounds great.
Yep.
So once I get there, I'm golden. I can't wait.
It's scarier. It's literally. So I used to be. I remember early on, I really missed the tank controls. I actually liked that in the PS1. Like I loved everything about the original Resident Evils. So when I saw that RE2 was going to be like over the shoulder, like RE4, I was actually bummed. I was like, aw. You know, I wish it was like old school Resident Evil. That's how far back in the past I was. And now playing RE2 Remake. RE2 Remake is my favorite Resident Evil game of all time.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's my favorite of all time. It's so great. So, so great.
All right.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm down.
Hey, Chris, I'll go back to our actual questions that we have written out.
It's not your fault. It's my fault because I just keep asking random things that I'm interested in.
Because I don't think we've asked a question from this list since, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes ago.
It's what happens. Fine. It's why
hey,
it's the best.
Yeah. The best. Whatever. Hey, Adam Cole, what do you want from an AEW game?
Do you play wrestling games?
So actually, I honest to God, I do not play many wrestling games at all. Funny enough, I love pro wrestling and I love video games, but I'm not like a big pro wrestling video game gamer. Not that I don't like them. It's just not something that I play very often. However, I was a huge fan of like WrestleMania 2000, yes. No Mercy, that N64 era of wrestling games. So I really hope, and I think it's a very possible situation considering who's making the AEW game. Mm-hmm. I hope there's a lot of similarities to that N64 era of a wrestling game. I know that, again, with a team as passionate as this team who's working on the AEW game, I'm totally confident that they're going to make this game fun and different and exciting and paying tribute in a lot of ways to like the wrestling games of the past that I feel like so many people I talk to, so many people, if I ask 10 people who played wrestling games, at least 9 of them are going to say, oh yeah, I love like WrestleMania 2000, No Mercy. So I hope it's similar to that.
It's great because I feel like that for a lot of us was like the entrance into what wrestling games could be.
Yes.
And then it got not great for a lot of years. And like, it's good now. Like I really enjoy the games now, but like, man, it's hard going back to like, think of what could be better than my first experience with like Mania 2000, WCW NWO Revenge.
Oh,
wow. Come on.
World Tour was great.
Yes.
It was fantastic. Like, sometimes I think too, and I know people have learned this over time, but sometimes making it simpler, still with intricate factors to it, isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Not at all.
Like playing No Mercy, my dad could hop on the controller and he could figure it out. It wasn't like a thing where you had to really know the game in and out to be able to play it and enjoy it. Because wrestling games to me are like party games.
Yes.
It's like a fun, everyone's hanging out at the house, chilling out, though. Let's play some video games. It should be simple and easy to pick up and play. But at the same time, if you're really good, you can be really good and do it in like a tournament style as well. So
all I care about is creating your own wrestlers.
Yeah. I want to create a wrestler.
Oh,
and I'm going to go ahead and demand that they include your Owen Hart title belt.
Oh, I agree.
Do you hear me? Yukes calling you out. I want to see that belt in the game.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Hold on. I just got a call from Mr. Yukes.
Oh no.
he says maybe.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Oh, hey, that's a win.
I thought he was gonna threaten me or something. So
see
that's
you
great.
Later, Mr. Yukes. He's here now. Yes.
Oh, great.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Yukes. Thank you.
looking forward, let's talk about what's still to come. Like, is there anything you're excited for that in terms of games that isn't out yet?
Yes.
Because like especially as we're like, there's so many things. First of all, y'all, there's a RoboCop game coming like next year. I'm gonna play only that until I'm dead.
Is there an unlockable surfer sting that you can put him in?
Yeah. Yeah. Where he gets stuck in a cage.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be great. But so what are you looking forward to?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much. Like you said, games are constantly dropping and releasing to where, like, again, I brought up Klonoa recently. It was like, I forgot the game dropped when it did. Mm-hmm. Like, I completely forgot. So I got it immediately. I'm like, oh, there's so much good stuff. But I'd say the top three, number one is God of War Ragnarok.
Oh yeah.
I can't wait. So excited that game is coming out in just a few months, which is wild. And then again, me being a huge Final Fantasy VII fan, Crisis Core Reunion dropping this winter is very exciting because I've never played the original Crisis Core, which is sad as a Final Fantasy VII fan. But at the time, I didn't have a PSP. It was one of those games.
Cut yourself some slack, man. Cut yourself some slack.
Yeah. You're
okay. How dare you don't have every system ever. Right.
Look, we're not here to gatekeep your Final Fantasy fandom, okay?
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. But then the next one, and this is like over a year from now, but FF7 Remake Rebirth.
Oh, man.
FF7 Remake at the time, FF7 Remake when it came out was a game that seriously, like the intro and the ending made me cry, and it wasn't emotional. Like it was like, I was just so moved by the game. Like I was just, the nostalgia tingles were going crazy. Mm-hmm. And how well they remade the game with a kind of a different story and in a compelling way to make me excited for part two. So as far as Rebirth goes, I have no idea where they're going with this. But if it's anything like part one, I am just so freaking excited. I can't wait.
I am very, like my introduction, I will say, to Final Fantasy was FF8. A game that I know isn't everybody's favorite Final Fantasy, but I love it to death.
I love it too.
That's Gunblades, right?
Yes.
Gunblades?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first one I beat.
Oh, see, great.
And like, that was the first one I found out. And like, I want them to do that again. Remake that. Make it look pretty.
Oh, that'd be great.
Just make it look pretty. That's all I want. Or honestly, just release it as is on the Switch and let me buy it new again. And just go through that whole experience again. I don't know. Okay. I think they might have released it on the Switch.
FF8 really? Is 100% on Switch.
Is it really?
Yes. Chrono Cross was the one they just released, like the newest Square Enix.
Final Fantasy 7, 8, and 9 are all on Switch and with a little bit sharper graphics. Not a complete
remastered.
Remake. Yes, yes. But dude, less you can play pixely. That today.
Oh my God. Well, I'm going to. Yes. I just typed it in like, oh man, it's on sale for $30 on Amazon. That's great.
Also, just get Chrono Cross and play that.
Oh yeah,
I mean, look, Matt.
I did get that on Switch.
The world.
Yeah, same here. I haven't played Chrono Cross since it came out, but like that is just memories.
Hey, this just sparked into my head, and I hope it's okay because I know I'm not hosting by any means. Oh, but I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
Oh no.
Is there a game that you really, really wish that you would have played that you haven't played yet? Obviously, we still have time to do it. But is there like a game that you're like, my God, I really should have played through and beaten this, but I haven't even touched it yet.
Oh, wow.
I'd say Elden Ring, but I put a whole hour into that. It's not for me. So,
hey, fair enough.
Elden Ring was high on my list, but I like everyone I talked to who loves it is like, we don't think you'll like this game. We think you'll get mad at it. I'm like, okay. So maybe that won't be on my list, but God, there's so like,
I know.
What? Jesus Christ. So I don't even know. There's so, because like, there's so many games I want to play through that I just
so many
A, haven't had the opportunity to, or B, like I didn't like get looped in on them until way after the fact. I'm like, oh, that's a great game. Then I see that now. Like I've been trying to work my way through a bunch of like the indie titles on like the Xbox Game Pass. Like What Remains of Edith Finch is a very quiet, but very beautiful game.
Haven't played it.
It's so good. And like, have I finished it? Absolutely not, because there's a billion other things. But like,
yeah,
anytime I have a few free moments, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna dip back into this game. It's the most it's just incredibly relaxing. And it's like it's just a little mystery story. Like what I find is like, I really enjoy games like that. Like, did you ever play Life is Strange?
Oh my God, excellent.
They're so good.
Yep.
They're so good.
So I've only played the first one, actually, but the first, I'm not kidding. I downloaded that menu theme to Life is Strange immediately. Like the first one with that awesome acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Life is Strange is excellent. Those like choose your own adventure games, some of them are just incredible.
I love that it's choose your own adventure. I also love that it's episodic. It's almost like TV in a way where it's like you get a chunk of the story, then you got to wait.
Yep.
And then you'll get another, like elite. And there were so many moments, especially in that game, where it leaves on these cliffhangers where like, you know, look, I am now a 40-year-old man who's like playing this game where I'm playing the role of like a 16-year-old girl. And I'm like, okay, this is nice. But then there's moments where your jaw is just left on the floor. Where you're like, oh, she's in a wheelchair now. What did I do with time travel?
Spoiler.
Yeah.
Sorry,
right,
Matt.
Right.
If you haven't played this game that came out, I don't know, a decade ago.
My dog was barking, so I had to mute, but I would say Final Fantasy VII Remake. I own it, have not touched it.
Ooh. There we go. That is man. I, you know what? I'd be fascinated too, because I actually haven't talked to anybody who like doesn't, and you may, but someone who doesn't have a strong connection with the original Final Fantasy VII and then plays Remake. I'm just curious, because pretty much everyone I've talked to is like FF7 is their favorite OG PS1, you know, JRPG. But I don't know if I've talked to anyone who hasn't played FF7 original and then played remake to see, to like hear what they think about it. But because my answer to this question is Final Fantasy X.
Oh, wow.
I have never. So I've played maybe the first 15 minutes of that game years ago. I have it on my Vita, but I still have not played through that game yet. And there are a lot of people that talk about that one as their favorite Final Fantasy. So I have not played FF10.
Oh, my God. I just figured mine out. It's Breath of the Wild. I've never finished Breath of
the Wild.
That's
a perfect one.
I didn't even realize until now that I never finished it.
Can I tell one small story about Breath of the Wild? It's really, really small.
By all means.
But
spoil the ending for me, please.
Right. So I no. I don't even know. Yeah, maybe I won't even say the location. Just
oh no,
case.
It's fine. You're fine.
Okay. Okay. But just in case. So I was traveling a lot at this point, and I had just gotten a Switch, just moved from Pennsylvania to Florida. And I just got my Switch. I'm playing Breath of the Wild for the first time, and I'm on this really long bus trip to the next town and the next show we're going to do. And I was feeling a little bit homesick at that point. Like I'm really close with my mother and my brother, and I'm sitting there and I'm just playing Breath of the Wild. And I'm on top of this big tower, and I go, you know what? I'm just going to sail down and just go to this area that I haven't seen. And I jump down and I have my little parachute thing or my sail, and I'm going, and it's this huge forest with mist. And all of a sudden this music starts playing from a distance.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, what is this? And I land and I'm in the Lost Woods and I'd never been there. And I didn't even know it was in the game. And it was so cool. Like I got like chills when I landed and I'm like, oh my God, this place exists. This is amazing. So that game is just, as far as capturing your imagination, God, Breath of the Wild is great.
It also really shows you just how powerful that Switch is, because holy cow, yeah. What a beautiful, breathtaking game.
My God. Yeah, seriously. Seriously. It's unbelievable. I haven't played it on the OLED yet, but I'm curious how much sharper it looks.
It's photorealistic now.
Yeah. Oh,
wow. Link is played by Michael Cera. It's great. You'll love it.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Oh, so good.
I've got something to bring up, Mr. Cole.
Yeah.
On an episode of Dynamite
recently. Oh, this is not games related at all.
Games related one all
right.
bit.
All right.
This is called my segment. I got a bone to pick. Play some music, Matt. On an episode of Dynamite AEW, you said the word jerk a lot on TV. And my son told me to tell you that's a bad word.
Wow. Hey, well, you could tell your son that sometimes bad guys say bad words.
He's right.
Well, I told my son he's on TV. He's allowed to swear.
Yeah.
That's actually the that's rule. True.
Yeah. Honestly, hey, it's TV 14 for a reason.
Exactly.
Or right? Whatever the rating is. I don't really know.
Sometimes but you got to keep that rating up. You know, with using words like jerk and punk.
I got to bleep all these.
I said it. Bleep away.
Matt, you can't stop bleep me. Punk. Their champion's name is Punk.
Oh, boy. Like,
that's not going to work. We cover AEW wrestling.
World champion.
CM.
Oh. That was my segment. He just wanted me to tell you, you said bad words and hey, I couldn't.
Well, tell him, as long as he promises not to tell anybody, tell him that I'm sorry.
Okay.
Tell him that I'm sorry.
If you heard this on the podcast, we're going to bleep that too.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I said his name. Bleep that.
Yeah.
Bleep that. Oh, did you say my son's name?
I did.
Oh yeah.
Sorry.
Bleep it. Hold on. Bleep my son's name.
What a time this is going to be. Have fun with this edit, great. Matt.
It's a great episode.
It's great for us. We don't have to do any of the editing. That's all up to him.
I was going to say my wife's name, my dog's name. Let's talk about all my personal life right in this section.
Matt, what's the last four of your social security number?
Boy.
Something that came to mind when we were talking about the Steam Deck. Are you a VR guy?
Yes. So currently, again, in my injured state, VR is definitely not something I can do right now. Right. However, generally, I do love the VR. And funny enough, Britt years ago got me the Oculus Rift, like right when it came out for Christmas. It was amazing. And then just a couple of weeks ago for my birthday, my mom and my brother got me the Meta Quest 2, which is
the new Facebook branded version of the Oculus Rift.
The newest and biggest version, but it is. So I just for a second wanted to set it up and put it on and everything like that. I didn't actually really play anything, but it's amazing to be able to do VR with no cords whatsoever. And the screen being even sharper. Like, I'm a huge Beat Saber fan. Mm-hmm. So I do love VR, lately I haven't played a ton of it, but yes, I do love virtual reality.
I think that's our next gaming investment. We keep looking at the Meta Quest 2 and it's just like, oh, it looks so cool.
It's really cool. It's because I didn't even think to get another one because I had the Rift. So I was like, I have the Rift. I just plug everything in and it's fine. But having the Quest 2 is absolutely an upgrade. It's for sure an upgrade. It's really awesome. Cool. Really, really cool.
Right on, man.
Hey, what would you like to plug? This is going to be the plug section.
Oh yeah.
Great. Again, I know I've mentioned this a couple times, but I do have a Twitch channel. It is twitch.tv/thechugs. Again, right. I play a variety of different games, try to stream, 5 to 6 days a week. We have a great community there. Real passion for video games. So if you want to check out a Twitch stream, once again, it's twitch.tv/thechugs. Also have a YouTube channel, which is The Chugs as well, where we highlight a bunch of cool stuff. I have a great editor who puts together these really funny and entertaining videos if you just want to watch clips of it. I also have a YouTube channel as well. And then when it comes to the wrestling, I am at Adam Cole Pro on Twitter and Adam Cole Pro on Instagram.
I love it. I have a question for you about the Twitch thing. I am trying to become a Twitch person. I think it's fun. I like the idea of streaming games and talking to people while you do it.
It's the best.
And I've done it a couple of times and it's really enjoyable. Do you have to have in terms of being out there, do you have to have a set schedule? I know so many people have this is my this day. This is my Halo day. This is my other thing day. Is the schedule that important in terms of just appealing to people or having people find you?
So for me, in my experience, I have never had a set schedule. Okay. They're very aware that it can change on a dime. All of a sudden it's, hey, I'm gone for 4 days. Sorry, guys, I'm not able to stream. So fortunately, that's never been consistent, even though, of course, it's better to be able to have a set schedule so they know when to go. But I think it's almost more important is consistency is more important. I've noticed that if a couple of weeks in a row, I stream 5 days each week. And then the week after it's only three. And then I let them know, hey, the following week, we're going to be back at it. And it's going to be every day. I think, again, just making sure you do it as much as you can, not only because it's important, but because I just love doing it. There's nothing better than enjoying I'll never forget when Last of Us 2 first dropped and I hadn't touched it at all. And then I was streaming it and just, it makes you more excited because I'm looking at the chat and they're so excited. And then I'm excited. So it's like, you're with a bunch of friends who are just super amped for this game versus you being gaming by yourself is great too, but sitting there alone, I'm so pumped. But now I'm I'm so pumped that I look over and there's hundreds of people yeah, let's go. So it's awesome. It's awesome. But you do your best with the schedule for sure. But I think consistency is more important than anything. Yeah.
And I would also note probably being a world famous professional wrestler on television helps.
It certainly helped. Helped.
So if I can figure that out, if you can just loop me in with the HR department over there at AEW, I'll be on dark. It's fine.
Yes.
That's close to home. I can drive to Orlando.
It's, in all seriousness, of course, the fact that I'm a pro wrestler definitely really, really helps. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing that I would say now maybe 25 to 30% of the people who watch don't watch wrestling.
Oh, really?
Don't know that I'm a wrestler. Yeah. I've had quite a few people, and I do polls like every 6 months or so. I'm like, how many of you, you know, watch me from wrestling? And that number keeps growing as far as they don't watch. One of the coolest things too, is people will find out that I am a wrestler and they go, what? No way. And then they'll start watching AEW. So it's like this cool trade of camaraderie in a lot of ways. So
that's you're succeeding because you're growing an audience that is not already familiar with you.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Because Twitch is video games are the biggest entertainment platform on the planet. They crush movies. They crush music. They crush sports. They really do. They're the biggest thing in the world when it comes to people consuming entertainment between hardware, software, all that stuff. So it's an amazing thing. Like, it makes me so happy that so many people love games like we do. Is it? They're the best. They're the best.
In your face, Star Wars.
In your face, Star Wars.
In your face, Star Wars. That's where we're going to wrap it up this week. Thank you, Adam Cole, for coming on. As always, Chris, do you have any final words?
I really want to play that RoboCop game now. I just want to play the RoboCop game. That's all.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Wrestle Buddies. We hope you had at least almost as much fun as we did. Go ahead and rate and review us on the Apple Podcast app. You can email us questions at WrestleBuddies@GameSpot.com or find us over on Twitter at WrestleBuddies. I am at Chris Hayner. He is at I'm Matt Elfring. See you next week.
Wrestle Buddies is a copywritten GameSpot website podcast. You do not have permission to use anything contained within the episode, or you'll be sued by me, Dog Dad Lawyer. I've got a dog named Clarence. He's a beautiful pug.